Thank you, Andre, for the introduction. Last time when we went to SCF Arizona, I convinced Andre to actually come for the meeting together with two other friends. But when it was close to time to leave, he actually studies birds, and he likes to go to Peru, Brazil, and so many other parts to study birds. And so it almost happened that this time was scheduled for that event, and I wanted him to be in Arizona. So I actually prayed that God opened a way, and he didn't go to that trip, and he was available. But I remember one time when we were supposed to choose new leaders. Those who were leaders then were about to leave, and then we didn't have a new person for the SCF at LSU. And I remember when we just met. At this time, Andrew really used not to come so much to our meetings, and so we were meeting. We were three of us, and we wanted to nominate a new person. And so we asked him if he could be the chair of the group, and he told us, "I need time to think about it." And he thought about it, and I believe God answered our prayer, and he accepted to be the chair. So he's now the president for the LSU SCF. So I thank God for how he's been using different people to continue his work. Today I want to share with you about the message of how God answers prayers. And in this case, actually, it's how God selectively answered my prayer. You know, there are so many requests that we present before God, and there are some very important requests that we present to him when we think they are urgent and important. They seem not to be in that order according to the significance of the things that he put in his schedule. And so I remember this time that after my undergrad, I wanted to be in grad school, and I prayed for a long time. I tried to apply to many schools, and it didn't happen. And at this time, it's almost like I gave up, and I was, you know, outside. It was early morning, so I actually experienced a lot of challenges between my undergrad to grad school that I actually learned to do morning devotions. And I remember this morning, instead of waking up and reading my book, I actually got outside there. My house, and it was like bright. It was around 4 or 5. That's when I actually do my devotion sometimes. So I was like outside, and it was like moonlight, and I'm looking up in the sky and telling God, "So what now?" It's like I've tried all the means, and it's not working out. And it's like, "So what now?" Nothing. I have nothing else to tell him. I've told him all I wanted to say. And I remember that I was actually teaching in a high school then. And I remember at some point then I got an admission to LSU out of nowhere. I had applied, yes, but I didn't expect that I was going to get it. And so I got this admission, and it was close to my birthday. And I remember that day when I wrote, and, you know, I did share when you were in Arizona, for those who are there, that every birthday I like to write cards to myself. So I actually make my own birthday cards. But in it, I write my prayer request for almost a year. And I remember the title up there in the card. I said, "And God Remembered Abby," because I feel like he had forgotten at some time. And so I thought that I should share that maybe sometimes God forgets. And I remember that in the Bible, there are so many verses that talk about God remembering. Genesis chapter 30. Verse 22 says that, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb." In Genesis 8:1, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were in the ark, and God caused the wind to pass over the ark and water to subside." So what is it that God chooses, or how does he make decisions up to what he needs to answer and what he does not need to answer? And today I'm going to share actually my personal life, just beginning from in line of school, because I've actually been in school for such a long time that, yeah, you know, that I just mentioned that I have a defense coming up soon. But I think I've been in school for a long time, from the time my mom was worried that I'm having a boyfriend early in life until the time she's worried that I don't have a boyfriend now. I remember that when I came in for the SCF, I met with Pastor Ron and Tracy, and it's like I want to be excited that I see them here, and they're asking me, "You mean you're still here?" It's like, yeah, they didn't expect me to be here, but anyway, so I'm excited to get out of school. But I would like to talk to you through my education life when I was when I was young to date. That when we were young, actually, I have a sister, so our parents got separated when we were young, and I remember that we lived with our grandparents, and while we lived there, I got to interact with my grandpa, and I would actually mention that I got to know about God during this time. You know, grandpa would actually put me, you know, I liked to play a lot. I was a kid, and I liked to go and play a lot with the children, but he would call me out of my playground, and he's like, "I need you to come and read a verse for me." But it's not in English, it's not in Swahili. I'm from Kenya, for those who don't know. But it's actually in our native language. It's not easy to read that. But he would put me, sit me down and ask me to read a verse. But what was funny about that is that he knows those verses. He has memorized the Bible. And I'm sitting there, I'm struggling to read the words, and he's finishing them up for me. I'm struggling to read the sentences, and he's finishing them up. And he's like, "Why am I here? Why am I reading it for you?" But to some time later, I think maybe he wanted me to actually learn these words and pretended to be asking me to read them for him. And so I really attribute to some of my spirituality to his guidance. I also like to go to school. And I remember one time, you know, we mostly walk to school. And I remember one time I was sent home to get the tuition fee. So it's different here. You know, here children are well taken care of such that parents have to drop them in school and they have to pick them from school. In my country, actually children leave school, leave home and go to school by themselves. They leave school and come home by themselves. So I remember I was sent from school to go home and get some tuition fee. But then my mom was not in, my mom didn't live, she was living in her her home, but she used to teach somewhere far, so she lived away. I didn't stay with her, and of course our dad was somewhere else, and we actually used to just visit. But then I did not really understand the issues of separation or divorce or anything. All I knew is that we lived with our grandparents, we went to visit our dad, and my mom was somewhere in school. And so when I was sent home, I remember this day I was sent home to go and get the tuition fee, and I didn't really like to be away from school. I really like to be in school, even though I'm saying that right now. But I like to be in school, so I didn't want to miss even a few hours. So I went on my way to home. I actually made up a story and came back and then went to the principal of the school and told him, actually, there's no need to send me home because actually my mom went away. I don't know where she went to. My dad died. I don't know why I say that. I didn't even know what it meant, but I guess I said he died because I never saw him in my life. So I told him, "This is not it. I am not going home." So I actually stayed in school. He allowed me. But I remember that after that, I think that story was told to my grandma, and she was not very nice to me. And while I went through elementary through middle school, it was easier. Like, I really liked to study, and so I passed my exams, but I liked to play more. By the sixth grade, I could not qualify to move to the seventh grade, and I really cried when I was told that I had to redo sixth grade. First, because my friends were moving along, and then I'm going to be in class with people who I was ahead of them. I was not happy with that. And so it's not very nice to realize that you are not advancing. And I'm sure some of us, there are so many aspects of our lives that we experience that if you are remaining in that same spot, it's not very nice. And actually, I will share later that that same applies to our Christian life. Even though Christian life is different, but this one, I was not happy with it. But it later played out that when I finished eighth grade, I was supposed to move to high school. That's when my uncle finished his grad school, undergrad, and he was going to a new high school. I happened to just be in a very nice high school just because of him. And so I say that timing was okay. Not that I was happy with the redoing sixth grade, but the timing worked out well that I managed to go to a very good high school just because I finished at that particular time. So my experience in high school, I went there when I did not really, I had the lowest grades in the school in compared to the other students. But what I found out is that the school actually had their motto, aim higher. And, you know, today theme for the SEF is higher aim. And I thought, like, yeah, that's a good reminder that the school told us to aim higher, and that's what I did. By the time I cleared the fourth year in high school, I was actually the best student. So I entered in as the least, but left as the best. So I believe that the advancement that we have, it doesn't matter where we begin. So when you are in a situation where you are amongst people whom you think they are well advanced in terms of maybe study or even in terms of life, wealth, and all that stuff, it doesn't really matter if you have that desire to aim higher. And so I did aim higher, and I was the best. But what I was best at is only sciences. I was not best at some other subjects, and I came to realize later that it was my choice to pass or to fail. Because in high school, the head teachers used to like rank students, so you are ranked by subjects. So or every subject that was taught in high school, they would call the first student that the first five in the subject and also the last five in the subject. And so they would call them affront. So yeah, when they call math, physics, chemistry, biology, I was leading in all those. But when they called geography, I was in the last group that came in. It was because I didn't like my geography teacher, and possibly I just didn't like the subject. But when I was finishing high school, I realized that I needed all the grades in order to get a good pass mark to go to undergrad. So I actually was the best in geography the last year for the first time. And what I remember in high school is while we were taught by maybe when we were young, our mom taught us to live a Christian life, there was this thought that really bothered me so much about heaven. We used to have preachers who used to talk about going to heaven, that when Jesus comes and you go to heaven, there are some cases where if you didn't tell your friend about Jesus, you're going to hold your cloth behind and say, you didn't tell me, so you're not going anywhere. I don't know if anyone ever has such stories, or is this, huh? Yes. So that if you say that if you are with your friends, even though you're qualified to go there, but you didn't tell them, they're going to hold you back, and so you might miss heaven because of that. And that thought is what worried me so much. And so I desired to actually go and tell people about Jesus so that I don't miss heaven because of that. But I was shy to go and preach. I wouldn't imagine myself, just like Pastor Ron talked about, he didn't imagine himself being a pastor. I didn't imagine myself actually standing and preaching before people. I remember I did not like my history class just because I did not like to memorize people's names. I did not like to memorize years. You know, they asked in the year dash this and that happened. I really didn't like that. But after high school, because I desired to actually preach to people to be saved for heaven, I went to join an evangelistic meeting organized by the youth. And I was teaching prophecy. And this is the time that I got to learn all this about four beasts. I got to learn about Daniel 7, Daniel 2, Daniel 8, Revelation. And I was surprised. I actually surprised myself that I could memorize the years. So even today, I still remember the Babylon started in, when did it start? Like 605, it ended 538, and then another one 538 to 331, then 331 to, I think, 168, and 168 to 476. All those years I have memorized, but not now. It was then. And I actually taught prophecy and remembered everything, but I haven't had any much advancement that I had before then. And so it means that if I actually took my history class, I would have done well, but only had a different attitude. And so my desire to actually reach out and preach to people, you know, in my country, they don't necessarily limit how you preach. You know, here we are so careful about how you set up system, as we would just go to any place, set up speakers so loud and preach to them and tell them about the beast and the prophecy and all this big stuff. But no one really would have any issue with that. But I believe that right now things are becoming more stringent. And I remember this night that we would go to a very, countryside and set up speakers at night when people are sleeping. Even if they don't come for the meetings, they will still hear in their houses because it's night. Everything is quiet, and we would do that. But that built up my spiritual life. That when I actually moved to undergrad, I met with a very strong group of people, and actually I did share this morning with a group that we were together, that most of my independent spiritual life away from my mom actually developed in campus, because I met this group of young people who were more interested in knowing Christ. They were more interested in reaching out for Christ. And that's when I learned more about Christ, apart from just teaching prophecy, that there's another part of our life that is growing in Christ. And so at this time, I was studying a Bachelor of Chemistry. It was Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, and actually I'm still pursuing chemistry. I remember when I was deciding on which major to take, it was between math and chemistry. You know, I had to decide one. And I was like, I always like to challenge myself, and so I wanted to do math because many people didn't like to do. But when I went to pharmacy, and it's like someone is reading a script, and I'm looking like an illiterate person presenting this paper that I cannot even read, and I don't understand what it is. Then I said, no, I wanted to do chemistry. I don't know how those two are related, but I like to see people in white coats and just feeling like you are a doctor. So that's what made me to decide to major in chemistry. So that's what I did. And so in that, that's it. Okay, so the decision to study and to major in chemistry was led by that. But to what I see right now, the current how I got to come to LSU was because of the chemistry. So I'm done with undergrad, and now I need to transition to grad school. This is where the big challenge in my life came, because after undergrad, I did not want to go teaching. You know, there are some jobs that you are already saying no to it, and there are jobs that you are desiring to get. And I pray to God to really open up a way that I may get a job, but not a teaching job. One, because my mom is a teacher, my dad is a teacher, my uncles, my aunties, everyone is a teacher. I wanted to do something different. But I did not get a chance to get another job apart from teaching. I actually almost stayed jobless for a whole year just because I was avoiding teaching jobs and wanted to do something else, until finally I had to give in to teaching. And so I remember a friend of mine texted me and told me, there's a vacancy in this place. Are you interested? Do you want to come and teach? And then, of course, yeah, I was jobless then. I didn't have money, and so I decided that I was going to teach. And so the day of the interview, I needed to call to find the direction because it was not in the city. Then I was in Nairobi, but the school was really quite a distance. It was almost 2 or 3 hours drive away from the city. And I called and I asked to be given directions. So on the day of the interview, I used public transportation, and we went a really long journey. On our way, it was like, I'm not going to take the job. I was so ready. Even though I was already going for the interview, I was decided I wouldn't take a job because this was a very remote area. It was away from the city. It was like the roads were really muddy, and it was not what I wanted. And so I was so set to go and just say I wasn't going to take the job. And then so I got to the place. I went to the office, and then I had the principal present me some papers. And when she presented me, I thought it was the interview papers. It was the timetable scheduled for teaching. I didn't even have a chance to say no to the job. She was already preparing me for it. And it's like, which are the days? Which one do you prefer to teach? And it's like, yeah, only this one and this and that. I didn't have a chance to say no. So, yeah, I took the job. And when I went home, it was during, I think that was in November. So during Christmas, I was praying to God to open a way, to just make a way so that I may get another job before the January comes and the schools begin. But I didn't get another job, so I just had to go to that one. And so I go to this place. It's far away from home. And then Friday comes, and it's almost Sabbath. And I did not ask where the Adventist church is. And so I started asking the teachers and the people who lived around there if they knew an Adventist church. And so no one even knew what Seventh Adventist is. And so I tried to explain to them that they worship on Saturday, but no one knew. But then later, like sometime, I think I missed that Sabbath to go to church. And then on the next Monday, one of the workers in the school came and told me, actually, I know there is one family that they are Adventists, but they actually meet in their home. So I asked him to show me where that family is, and I joined them. I went and joined them. So they have a place to worship. They don't worship in their home, even though they are the only ones who are attending the church or the worship. They would leave their home and actually go to worship. I took a picture of the place where they did worship. That was the structure they were worshiping in. It's not a nice building. It was very tiny. It was an old building, but they would just choose to go there and worship. So when I got in there, they just brought in some seats, and then they just do their Sabbath school. But I was so surprised that they didn't just do things casual. You know, the way we have all the scheduled programs in the church for Sabbath, they did every program as it is scheduled, even though it was one of the children leading and the parents sitting, because they were only two adults and like four children. That was the church. And so they would still do the program exactly as it is. And so they were so excited to find me there. That's when I realized maybe there's a reason why God me was sending me to this place, and I was trying to run away from it. And of course, I told you I taught prophecy before, so I started prophecy with them. That's all I knew anyway, how to teach. So they were excited to learn more about prophecy and all this stuff. And so they were happy to have me there. But I was really burdened by that structure. Yes, I was teaching. I was earning some money, but actually it was almost like $160 a month if you translate to U.S. money. Of course, it can do more than what it does here, but that was the much. I was burdened, and I really wanted to help them just do some renovation or do something different, but I was not capable of helping. So at the end of the year, because the school actually was sponsored by Catholics, so they used to have programs on Saturday, and I missed most of those programs. So one of the when the school was almost closing, I was called in by the principal, and actually I was being fired. And she told me that, you know, we cannot continue to keep you here because we have events on Saturday, and you are not available on Saturday, so we're just going to lay you off, and you would just have to seek for a replacement. That was a surprise, but anyway, it was not a good news for the members of this family when I told them that I was going to leave. But when I left, I realized that I needed to do something. I did not forget them. So I called my friends from campus. Well, at campus we used to have different choir groups. So we have a big worship group, like about 600 students in the main campus. It's a public university, but there are many Adventists, so we could have about 600 general. And so we used to have different choir groups. So I got connected to one of the choirs, and I called them, some of the students, and told them that we could meet. Most of them were done, and they were actually employed. So I told them, let's meet and think about us having a project with this church and trying to help them to build it. And so they agreed to that. And because I was the one giving the information, they told me that they could give some monthly contribution, and I was the secretary. So I kept the money and they contributed. So, but during this time, because I was already off back in Nairobi, but jobless, so I decided to do like private tutoring to high school students. So I did the tutoring, but sometime that was done. I didn't get another job. I decided to do an intern with a pharmaceutical company. That was the job that I wanted, but it didn't pay me. So at this time, I'm living in the city. I don't have money, and I need to pay rent. So I actually started thinking of the money that I have, because I was keeping the money, right? I was chosen to keep the money, and I said that I contributed a larger portion of that money, so if I use it, it's my money anyway. So I started using that money that was contributed. I used my part, and it's like my part was a bigger portion, so I could use it without stealing anyone's money. But once you begin that, there's no limit. I actually ended up using the whole money. And this is the time that I was not having a job, and I did not have any way of replacing it. But I ended up getting another job as a teacher in another school. I actually taught two other schools before I got the opportunity to come to LSU. So this time, even though I was earning money, it was not enough to repay what I used. I was feeling guilty because, yes, I had a nice project to help the church, and I have used up this money, but I cannot repay. But when I got a chance to come to LSU, the stipend that I get was sufficient to help me repay back the money. So I thought about that. So when I came here, I called one of the leaders, one of the student leaders that we were working together, and told them that I'm ready to continue with that project. You know, it's like, yes, how far had we reached? Then I contacted the people. The good thing is, like, before I left, before I came to you, is I went to the church, and, you know, I was still really concerned about them. So I wanted to go and find out. It was about 2 years after I was away, to find out how far did they go, what happened to them. So I went, but when I reached there, they were not at church. They actually told me to meet them in a different place, which was not that same place. And I thought that maybe it was just a change of venue. So I got there, and I only met one of the adults. That's one of the adults, but the other daughter-in-law was home. But what I was told is that there's a group of people who came and talked to them and told them that this Adventist thing is not real. It's a way, it's a devil worship, it's something different. So they got diverted to go to a different place. But I did not know when I went to visit them. So when I reached there, I was really saddened to know that they were confused at this moment. And I'm now leaving when I was going to check. So what I did is that I talked to them. But when I came here, I also talked to them. So they kept in contact. And even today, I'm still in contact with them. I called the students who were back in campus, the leaders, and told them, please talk to the students in campus. So the advantage is, at the University of Nairobi, we have the students who graduated, who will be the alumni, but they call them associates. And the students who are still in school are the ones that go out for mission. So associates, they are now having jobs. They have their own. Actually, they decided to live in one place, and so they have their own church, and they call it Cornerstone. So that Cornerstone church is a student, is like student-led, but these students already graduated. But they are working, so they finance the students on campus, Adventist students on campus, who go out for mission. So I always say that the associates have money, the students don't have money. But students have time when the school is off, but these ones don't have time, so they give the money to go out for mission, and that's how I did. So I called them, and they sent students to this same place to hold meetings. And at the end of those meetings, they got 14 baptisms. So I was really grateful to God. But after that, then we decided that we were going to find a way of having someone to help these, because these are new people. And no one lives around there. I was Adventist. The main church is quite far away. So all the three of us decided that we were going to make some monthly contribution and then have a lay preacher stay there. After 2 years of doing that, the conference decided to take over, and there has been growth in the church. So last year when I went to visit, not really last year, 2016, I went to find that. So transition from that previous to this one. This is what they have now current. So with the contribution of my friends and some of the local churches, they have helped to build a church, and that's what the church is right now, with a big number. The church is not complete yet, but what I'm happy about it is that most of them now can do things without having to seek for us. That's the how it is from the inside. And when I went, I took for them the book Steps to Christ. Now, some of my friends are in that picture together with the local members. But what I'm happy about that is the congregation that is there. Now, can I advance the slide? So that's what they are doing currently. They are trying to now put some flow into their church. What I wanted to share finally is the growth that we are advancing as students. Like I showed you, I desire to move from elementary to high school to graduate, to undergrad, and then to graduate school. That same needs to apply in our spiritual life. I just drew the same idea, the same picture there to show that we need to be advancing in our Christian life just the way we are desiring to advance in our education life. We, at the beginning when we accept Christ, we are almost at the foot, and I put like position A. There are many characters in the Bible that you could use to relate to people at that position. For example, like the adulterous woman who just came to know Jesus, and Jesus forgave her sins. That is at the point where you accept Christ, you are position A. But through the sanctification process, you need to be advancing your life up to the glorification. Of course, that is what happens when you finally get to heaven. But I would think like people at position B would be someone who has just learned about Christ and starting to live that life that they have learned. I would use an analogy of maybe David, King David, who used to rise and fall in his relationship with God. And at position C, you are really advancing well, like I would use the analogy of Daniel. I'm not really making judgment of people, but I would just use an example. And you can actually place yourself at any of those positions. Daniel got to know more about God, and he learned to advance his knowledge. But I would like to be more at position D, which I use an example of maybe Enoch or Elijah, who worked with God so closely that God did miss them. He just wanted to be with them in heaven. And so I want to advance my spiritual life in that direction, and that's what I'm calling everyone to try and do today. Because like I said, I was really saddened when I had to redo my sixth grade. You know, in the Christian world, redoing does not really exist. You are either advancing forward or you are moving backwards. And so when you are not moving ahead and growing up in Christ, you are actually growing backwards. And so, but there's an opportunity to fall and to rise, like God has provided that. But remember that each way is either you are advancing forward or you are going backwards. And so I want to call each one of you that while you desire to advance your education life, while you are moving from aiming higher, as it was in my high school, now you are being called to a higher aim, and that is focusing your eyes on Jesus and desiring to grow every time in Him. I think my time is up, so I'm going to ask everyone to rise up as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given. We pray, God, that even as we are desiring to advance in our education life, that we may desire for this high aim that is before us, that we may look to you, that we may desire always to advance our spiritual life to be sanctified and to be acceptable before you, so that we may rejoice in thee and be satisfied as we get to eternal life. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.